but I've got an opportunity to get to number one this week, and if I can pull that off, that'd be fantastic.
Are you doing TV show
wise? Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I'm just so busy with Dash. We got another one. I mean, to be honest, our life is so crazy because we're always on the road, and then when we get back, we got so much stuff to catch up on. A messy house, you know, stuff like that. Normal people stuff. And then by the end of the week, it's kind of been, you're trying to relax, but also trying to accomplish all these things, and you just, the week's gone, and you feel like, oh, where to go, and you want another week off, but unfortunately, we're going to play this week, so not much TV watching at all. I watched footy last night, watched Jared Hayne play, and that's the first time I actually sat through a whole game and watched it from start to finish, just because of him. And it was good to see. I mean, obviously, he didn't get off to the greatest start, but I think he had a pretty solid game.
For as long as you've wanted to be number one, and you've gotten closer, last tournament was your first time playing with that real opportunity. What was that like? Did it weigh on you at all as you look back on the week? Did you think about it?
No.
Or anything?
Yeah, no, not really. I don't think I was thinking about it too much. I know that I was more frustrated of how tired I was, and with that tiredness or that lack of energy came a lot of mental errors. And that's what was more frustrating to me, because I felt fine. My swing felt good. But just, it was one of those weeks where no matter how hard I tried, things just were happening. And it's, you know, I look back at 17 on the fourth day, on the final day. I'm 15 feet up the hill for a birdie putt and I end up three putting it. I mean, it's just things like that where you just, from 15 feet, you hit it to 20 feet away, you know, past the hole. It's just little mental errors like that were really frustrating to me. And it wasn't weighing on me too much, because to be honest, I wasn't even in the tournament. So I think it would have weighed on me a lot more if I was, you know, had the chance to, you know, have the opportunity to get to number one.
Ben and Sean?
Off the back of that, mate, obviously that number one goal has been something big. Now you're looking at the FedEx Cup as well. You've got 2 weeks to go for both.
Yeah.
Where's the balance in, you know, being ready for next week as much as it is this week, and obviously having a chance and not wanting to let the chance slip this week?
I think just playing good golf and trying to win both tournaments. That's the plan. And, you know, winning takes care of everything. And if I can do that, then that'd be great. I mean, that's great to say right now, but it's obviously harder to do. But, you know, coming off a week off, I feel refreshed. I feel good to go. So I know that I just have to suck it up for the next 2 weeks and just go out and play as hard as I can, because then I get another week off after that. So the off season's coming up quick for me. So I got at least 2 months off, a month and a half, 2 months off after that. So I've got no excuses. I need to go out and play good. That's the only, you know, thing that I have to focus on right now.
And we have precedence of guys winning these last two in a row anyway, so it's not like it can't be done.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, you look at Billy Horschel last year, and then I think Camillo, you know, a few years back as well. But things like this can happen. If you get on a roll, it can go pretty quick for you, because you're, you know, looking at Billy, he finished second at Deutsche Bank last year, and then he went on a tear and won, you know, this week, and then Tour Champs to win the FedEx Cup. So I got off to a good start at the Barclays, played okay at Deutsche Bank, and I'm looking forward to kind of moving forward on this week, going to next week as well.
Sean,
the idea of a team leader in the events like the President's Cup, is that an important role among players, or is a lot made of that? And do you feel like your role on the international team is different this year?
This is my third time I've been on the President's Cup. So, I mean, I'm slowly but surely starting to become a more of a veteran kind of, I guess. But, you know, Scotty, I'm looking towards Adam Scott. He's kind of our veteran. He's been on the team, I think, five or six times now. You know, he's been our leader probably over the last, you know, couple of President's Cup events that we've had. And I think he's finally understanding what that means to become that leader as a player. And obviously we have Captain Price and the other assistants, but, you know, for him to step up and start being that guy is neat, because we definitely were kind of, we needed a captain for our players. We didn't have anyone there, and we didn't have any, it's like kind of playing, having a hockey team without a captain. You know, it was hard for us to kind of voice what we needed to, and then obviously go forward to Nick and and especially with the point structure change that we were trying to accomplish over the last, you know, couple of years.
Can you think of a good leadership moment that you look back on from that you saw a guy take charge or take leadership in your past two presidents?
Right. Well, I mean, just not so much. It's a number of things. Just really trying to, you know, him being the voice for the players and pushing in regards to whatever it was, you know, the point structures or something else that we needed to get through. He's always emailing, always calling, you know, myself, other players, the Captain Price. I mean, just he's been the voice for us. So that's kind of where he's, you know, kind of stood up and really, you know, showed how much of a leader he is.
The great seasons, Jace, is the ones who are there every single week, which you've done since really Chambers Bay, which Jordan's done a big stretch of the year, and which Rory's had pockets of doing himself. So I'm curious, what kept you from doing this sooner, and what have you done to do it now?
I think it was a belief. I mean, I always thought that I had the skills to play and win at the highest level and be competitive, but mentally, I think the last piece of the puzzle was to really believe. And I mean, it's easy to say, just go ahead and believe in yourself. But it's, I mean, go ahead and believe in yourself. How do you believe in yourself when you don't know what to believe in? That was the hardest part for me, just to really kind of understand that, you know, over the last 8 years, it's kind of finally clicked. Something kind of finally clicked ever since kind of the US Open Championship, something kind of clicked for me. And things are starting to, I look at things a little bit different now. Like, I feel like everything's a lot more clearer to me. And I don't think, and I always said that, I don't know what it was, but it just happened out of the blue, and that's kind of how it happened. You know, as a junior and an amateur, I would, you know, I walk onto the putting greens and feel like I was the guy there to beat. And it took me a long time to really try and feel that way. I mean, obviously I'm not, you know, saying that I feel that way all the time here, but you know, especially when I was playing some really good golf at the PGA, the Barclays, I felt like I was the guy to beat, and that's what I gotta get. That's the mentality I have to get to all the time. And I think once I get to that, then I'll be a lot more consistent, not only in my finishes, but more consistent in my wins as well.
Lost me on when you went deep there. When you said you didn't know what to believe. You have to figure out what to believe in.
Yeah, believe in myself. I mean, it was just...
You seem to hit the ball pretty good. How can you not believe in that?
Yeah, it's easy. It's easy to say. I mean, how do you... Like, I mean, you. It's easy to say, okay, you know, look at a wealthy person and say, you're rich. But if they don't truly believe that they're wealthy, then they're not going to believe it. So, I mean, it's easy to say that you have a great swing and you're one of the best players out here, but if you truly don't believe in it, you're never going to be. And that's what I was talking about. The last piece of the puzzle is really understanding up here. I mean, everyone's good to be out here. Everyone's a good golfer. Everyone can be great. The biggest thing that separates the best players in the world from the, you know, the good players is upstairs. I think that was kind of the last piece that I needed to improve. And once again, I'm still trying to get better at it each and every year. And the goal of mine to try and get better each and every year is obviously helping that, because I mean, you can never be happy with okay. You can never be happy with okay, I've had a great season. You know, what do I do from here? You know, you just got to keep pushing forward and keep trying to get better, and that's the only way to really improve over the years and go from where I was at the start of my career to now, and then hopefully 5-10 years from now be even better, if not double the, you know, better than what I am right now. Come on, Dougie.
From like 9-ish through 11-ish, whatever years you want to take.
Yeah.
Did you ever walk onto the putting green of the range?
Never even through my major championships when I finished second and all that stuff. I had confidence, but I didn't have like the I'm gonna go out there and beat everyone here confidence.
So that confidence actually requires a calmness, I would think.
Yeah, it does. Oh. I mean, it requires a number of things. Really understanding the potential that you have, working at it through the work ethic. I've said this before. Once you work at it, then you get the results. And then from the results, you get the confidence. And then it goes back to the potential. So it works in a circle. Once you understand that, you start seeing results, your confidence gets higher, you believe in yourself a lot more, you understand that you are improving as a player and as a person, and over the years, you start to evolve into a player that is good to a great player, and hopefully from a great player to a superstar.
Mike, and then if you'd pass it up one row.
Got one more, Doug?
Jason, you've always obviously played with Jordan before, you played with Ricky before, but I think this is the first time you've been grouped together in the same threesome. So how much fun do you think that'll be those first two rounds? What kind of interaction do you anticipate, and do you think there'll be any President's Cup talk?
I don't know if there's going to – there may be some President's Cup talk. I think we're all going to be trying to focus on playing well and getting ourselves into contention, but I think it's good flavor for the week. It just goes to show where golf is right now, how young it is. I mean, looking back at it, 2013, Tiger was in the similar position where he was, you know, won five times or something, and, you know, we were looking at Tiger Woods all the time. But now you're looking at the younger guys, and with myself, Jordan, and Ricky, I think it's going to be, I think that's a pretty good group, you know, the first two rounds, especially with how Ricky's played. I mean, it was kind of Jordan, Rory, and myself, though everyone was talking about that. Now with Ricky having a three-win season, you know, winning over in Europe and then obviously two over here, he's kind of inserted himself in that conversation now as well. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be exciting because Ricky's always full of confidence. You can just see that he's always full of confidence. And right now it should be exciting to watch him play because he is... He's starting to become a lot more, you know, familiar with winning, especially over the last couple of seasons. So, and Jordan, he's obviously, you know, Jordan, he's had a stellar year. So, I think it's going to be a fun 2 days. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people out there. I'm just hoping that we get good weather because obviously good weather will bring out a lot of people, and it's always fun to play in front of a lot of people.
I'm going to finish up right here.
Hey, Jason, I read in the Sydney Morning Herald yesterday about the Greg Norman Medal. Is this something you're familiar with? Given to the...
Sorry.
First year, it's going to be given to the best Aussie male or female golfer.
Okay.
Growing up, did you look up to Greg Norman? And if so, what's your relationship with him now?
Yeah, Greg is... he was a little bit before my time. I was born in 87. I think the height of his career was kind of like 80s, early 90s. And, I mean, he's done wonderful things for golf, especially back home in Australia. Doesn't get enough credit for it. I remember playing, in the Greg Norman Junior Foundation events. I would go back and, especially where I was from, because he was a Queensland boy, and he helped support that. And without those tournaments, my first ever big tournament was I won the Greg Norman Junior Foundation Sub-Junior Championships at Coolangatta Tweed, and that was the big tournament that kind of propelled me going into playing more competitive golf. It got me onto the Greg Norman team, and without his support, then obviously, you know, he's had some part of me getting to where I've been. And then obviously on top of it, being able to have him as a President's Cup captain, but also be able to talk to him as well, you know, with regards, you know, things on the golf course, things off the golf course. You know, he's been a huge help. I know that he took Adam Scott under his wing when he was kind of at the end of his career. But he's been a huge help with my golfing career over, you know, especially over the last couple of years, you know, just being able to talk to him about certain things, because he was number one in the world for, I think, 331 weeks. So any time that you can have someone that has been dominant for that long and be able to get feedback is huge.
Do you think about your place in Australian golf?
No, it's further down the road. I mean, I'm just kind of, I feel like I'm young enough still to try to just focus on what I need to once I get a little bit older. You know, and to be honest, I don't even think I'll think about it. The only thing that I'm trying to do is get to number 7. And then after that, get to number 8. And I'm talking about wins here, not world ranking. Because that would be bad if I went from 3 to 7. But yeah, get to, you know, and that's all I'm thinking about right now. Someone asked me about money the other day, but I'm, you know, it's great to have all that stuff, but you know, right now my focus is to get to number 7, then number 8, then number 9, then number 10. That's all I'm trying to count for right now.